The following segment is a paid commercial program by Christensen PLLP. It's time for Ask the Expert on News Talk 1340 KWLM.
And joining us in studio, Joel Gratz, partner with Christensen PLLP. Joel, nice to see you this morning.
Yeah, nice to see you, Bill. How was your weekend?
Not too bad. A little rainy and a little windy, but now it sounds like, we've been kind of given forewarning that this could be kind of one of those typical March snow events, so we shouldn't be taken by surprise, I guess, if it does turn nasty. You just drove out to the station. You were saying kind of that light mist.
Yeah.
That, it is showing 32 on our thermometer, so if it were to drop another degree or so, it might end up being a little bit on the slippery side.
Yeah, no, you got to be careful out there, and if you're not comfortable driving, you got to probably stay home and be safe. That's always better to caution on the safe side.
And one thing about the spring, the weather can turn literally on a dime. I mean, it isn't supposed to really get that warm this week, but certainly by next week, a lot of this stuff could melt, again, just as it did over the weekend.
Yeah, so. Yeah, we had how many inches of snow about this time last week, and it's basically gone. Yeah, it was pretty incredible here in Minnesota how the weather can change very, very quickly, like you said.
Well, you guys, among many things, try to help people with financial planning. You also do a lot of tax preparation, tax planning, succession planning, I guess anything you can deal with. I mean, you got a variety of things, investments. I think even you got some people that kind of work in that area, helping people to, to hopefully, if they work hard, that they'll have something at the end of the day, I guess, in that nest egg.
Yeah. No, our firm tries really hard to provide solutions and be comprehensive and try to not maybe be a one-stop shop, but really help you in a lot of directions, because everybody has a different need, different concern, different set of consequences and circumstances. So we try our very best to serve our clients, and really feel that's our competitive advantage, is identifying and helping clients through the various things that they need help on.
Okay. And, the tax code is something that is constantly being revised, I guess, or added to, or I don't know if do they ever subtract anything out of it, or is one of those things where it just seems like it gets to be more complicated all the time.
Well, you hear the legislators talk about simplification, mm-hmm. and we have got one of the most complicated, convoluted tax codes in the world, and that's a fact. That's a given fact. Many of my friends joke that it's career stability for me and job security, and I wish it would get more simple to deal with, and this time it was not that case when they did the new Tax Cuts Act. I know we've visited about that here in the previous shows. It's definitely more complicated. They added more nuances to it because everybody has a special interest, and no one wants to let go of things, and then they want to add things, and it's been quite interesting going through my tax appointments this year, and everybody's obviously concerned about getting their 17 taxes done, great, but they are really concerned about 2018 and what the new tax law is going to do. Our tax software is doing a reasonably good job of projecting next year's taxes, as if, kind of saying, if 17 would have been under 18 tax law, what would your tax look like? And it's shocking, Bill. I would say 20% of mine, and again, I haven't stress tested the software itself, mm-hmm. are actually showing paying more tax.
Okay.
Which we're actually not even showing those to our clients right now, just because we're not sure the software is doing it as well as we'd like. And we also know that the software is not, on that particular summary, using the new small business deduction, which is one of the things I wanted to talk about today.
Right?
It really hasn't gotten to that extent yet, which I think is where here out in West Central Minnesota, our sole proprietors or entrepreneurs are really going to have a benefit to hopefully sway that other side of the equation where they might be paying more tax, which is shocking. And I'm not trying to scare the listeners, but I don't. Some people aren't going to have the windfalls out there. It's going to be a break even at best for a few people, shockingly. So it's it'll be interesting to see how 18 rolls out.
Yeah. Yeah, it may turn out that these tax cuts were kind of a misnomer in essence. I mean, it might be for some, as you said, but for the vast majority of, I'm going to just say, lump them together, middle class, that seem to carry the heavy part of the load all the time. I mean, it just seems like you know, you've got to, depending on who you listen to, a certain percentage of people that pay no tax and maybe even get money back, even though they don't pay in. And then you've got, on the other end of the scale, these astronomical incomes. And even if you paid 1%, if you have some of these large incomes, it would be a significant amount of money to fund, you know, various services. So
right. And in our tax law, the percent obviously goes up as you make more income, but there's other nuances with capital gain taxes and dividends and different things where those high income earners can actually have a smaller percentage on an effective basis.
Right.
Than other folk, but it's over a larger number. Yeah, so
they end up paying.
In dollars, generally speaking, maybe pay more. But to your point, the middle class, as a percentage, I believe does pay the largest share of their disposable income goes to taxes more than, it is a fact. I'm not going to lie to you. The self-employed folks are paying a heavy tax with Social Security, FICA, Medicare. So I think those folks are paying a greater burden, maybe not in total dollars, but as a percentage.
Right.
That's where it gets to be kind of laborious, and where I think this small business deduction is hopefully going to help out. You know, at the end of the day, President Trump pushed the flat tax for the corporations, and which is now at 21%. Okay, I'm all about that. That's a great deal. And at the time of deal making, a lot of the small business folks were like, what about the rest of the businesses, the backbones, the small guys out there and small gals out there getting it done every day? So they came up with this new 199A deduction. It's a reference to the code, Internal Revenue Code, where this specifically is stated under Section 199. And it's essentially allowing small businesses a 20% deduction of their net business income.
And is that, can they use that this year already then?
No, that's an 18 and going forward, right. Yeah, so in 17 we're status quo, but in 18 there is this opportunity. And I wanted to, today, and it's such, this is where the complication starts, Bill. This particular code is probably more cumbersome and complicated than I've seen in a long time. It's got a lot of nuances to it, a lot of phase-ins. Usually you see phase-outs, but it's phasing in at certain levels, and new definitions of what qualified business income is and what a qualified cooperative dividend is. And it's created a lot of question out there as to how it's done. So for the listeners today, I wanted to first make reference that if you are a corporation, this is not a deduction for you. But if you are a corporation that's elected to be a sub-S, you know, subchapter S or a S-corp as we call them, or a partnership, or a sole proprietorship filing a Schedule C or a Schedule F, this deduction is available for you. And the next question I get is, okay, that sounds great, Joel. How do I calculate this?
That's the thing, yeah.
Right. And that is where it can be complicated if you have taxable income starting to get into the 315,000s is where you start getting phased in with limitations. So I want to first focus on, let's assume you're not at that level and you don't have to worry about that. Then it becomes very easy. It's simply whatever your net income is, after depreciation, interest, real estate taxes, all that business, if you make $100,000 on your business, you take that number times 20%, which is now $20,000. My math is right here. You get a deduction right off the top. Now, it doesn't help you for your self-employment tax if you're a Schedule C or Schedule F. This is only a taxable income deduction. So it will eliminate your federal tax. State tax is not. At this point, we don't know if they're going to enact it or not. So for right now, we're only talking about federal income tax, 20% of that. So you've got a limitation in that if you don't have any taxable income, you don't have any deduction. So going forward, the big win and the big plan is we better make sure we got some taxable income. You know, a lot of small, like a farmer, I have a lot of farmer clients, God bless them. Paying tax is sometimes really hard for them. You know, it takes cash and they're trying to save money. And a lot of people don't like paying tax, right? But in order to get benefit of this deduction, you're going to have taxable income. So you're going to need to plan ahead during 18. And this is something we can't do after 18 is done. So talk about tax planning. If you're really going to maximize this deduction, you're going to have to come in and plan and make sure you got some income to even have that opportunity to get a benefit.
Okay, well, that's very interesting. I hadn't heard about this at all. So this was something that was added fairly recently then.
Yeah, it came late in the game. It came really late in the game, trying to make sure right before the December 22nd signing that these folks were included. I'm really glad they are. I'm a small business owner, so I'm glad this got included. But, of course, they always have to have some nuances and different things in there. This does lower your AMT income, the alternative minimum taxable income, so that's a good answer. It lowers only taxable income. Your adjusted gross income is not lowered, so if there's other limitations based upon your AGI, this really isn't a planning tool for that. So it really is just isolating the business income and isolating that factor to allow a better tax result for those people to provide some cash flow at the end of the day.
And this will be ongoing every year, right?
I mean, for 6 years.
Okay.
This is only in the books for 6 years,
oh, yeah.
Right? So other planning things that come into play, if you are a business owner who's got multiple investments in, I've got an S-corp here and a partnership there, and I'm a sole proprietor here, if you're kind of lopsided, meaning my S-corp is very profitable, but my partnership is not in my Schedule F, as an example, sole proprietor is running a loss, you are not allowed to net them together. So you could have a big win on one, and all of a sudden the other two are left out of the equation because you don't have any income. So now you have to start thinking, is there a way to massage the income, a way to level out the income so I get a greater opportunity by shuffling the deck? You know, instead of paying big rent to my rental LLC, maybe I got to back that off some, so I still have some income at this level. And ultimately, we also found out if you have a rental activity, that also qualifies, Bill, for this 20% deduction. So we got, there's so many nuances to this credit. It's a deduction.
Yeah.
That you want to make sure you dive into this and see how your businesses need to operate. If you're in a partnership, like my firm is, and everybody's getting paid, the partners, and guaranteed payments. Instead of wages, like a W-2, like you probably get, Bill, here from Lakeland, you've got guaranteed payments instead. Guaranteed payments do not count in this equation. So from a tax planning perspective, my firm needs to change how we pay the partners. Otherwise, we would completely miss out on our opportunity because the majority of our income is paid out as guaranteed payments. Obvious.
Mm-hmm.
So those are nuances that you have to do. In an S-Corp, your S-Corp wages, again, the IRS requires you to pay a minimum wage to shareholders/employees who are doing services. If you pay more wages, you're going to have less chance for an opportunity because now your business income is less, but those wages, just like guaranteed payments, don't count in this calculation. Mm-hmm. So right there are some two easy things that you have to reevaluate what you're doing and see, should we change how we pay each other? Should we change how we pay the owners to make sure they maximize this opportunity? Another item to remember is that this limitation where if you start getting to this $315,000 of taxable income is where you start getting phased in, then you have to look at your wage expense and you have to look at your assets, your unadjusted basis to find out, can I still get the credit? Or I'm sorry, keep saying credit, get this deduction if my income is over 315? Because you get fully phased out when you get to 415, but between 315 and 415,000 of married filing joint taxable income, you get some benefit or limitations because of your wages, because of those things. So you have to look at those things as an individual. It's not entity by entity. Again, I know I'm glazing you over, Bill, because this stuff is so complicated. I'm not trying to get into the details today, but I'm trying to stress that this is complicated and you have to look at all these nuances. But again, these limitations are at the individual partner level, which means if I have one partner in my partnership who's over that $415,000 by chance, he or she would not be able to get the credit. But if I'm below the $315,000, I would get it. So again, it's not entity level, so you have to allocate your attributes out whether or not you know how your partners' incomes are going to turn out. We have to calculate that limitation at the individual level. So it's not only business planning we're doing, we have to do individual planning, and that's where the heaviest planning has to be and where the taxable income management has to come through.
And again, like you said, people could be getting income from a variety of sources, from partnerships, and maybe they have their own sole proprietorship in addition to that. And
right.
So, yeah, that.
So the folks who have those really thick tax returns and every line in page one is completed, those are the folks that got to come in and make sure we get all that taken care of. It's very complicated. It's very opportunistic. I think it's a great opportunity to get in and meet with your CPA prior to the end of the year and make this stuff work. Now, if you're a C Corp, which is a regular corporation, but this doesn't apply, does it make sense to take an S election? You'll have to reevaluate why I am in a C Corp. Should I become an S Corp? Because maybe I get a much larger opportunity than the 21% flat tax at the corporate rate. Maybe it's better for me individually as a shareholder, owner, who's getting a W-2 out of this thing. Maybe we get a larger and a better tax opportunity by converting to an S-corp, which you certainly can do. That in itself is in a whole, you know, kind of project in research and planning opportunity all by itself. In our practice, C-corps are not the norm. I'd say the S-corps, the partnerships, are, you know, by far, you know, probably 10 to 1, you know, the choice for most small businesses, for obvious reasons, with tax items and different things. It is more efficient, generally speaking. But if you are in a C-corp situation, maybe we need to revisit that and take a peek at that.
Mm-hmm. Are there going to be any special records that you're going to want to be keeping then to make this transition, to make sure you get this deduction?
Well, the tax planning is a very critical item at the individual level. But as far as at the business level, since it's not really at the business level where the limitations are, you need to allocate your attributes out, which is wages, that's an easy one to grab. Mm-hmm. And now this new attribute, which is this unadjusted basis of your capital assets. We're all familiar with depreciation schedules, right? And what we have to take from what the IRS tells us over time. This is not a reference to that. You have to go back in time and look at what you paid for your assets, all right? And if I paid $100,000 for a piece of equipment 7 years ago, that $100,000 stays on this new unadjusted basis schedule for 10 years. It has nothing to do with tax lives, so it's a brand new set of information to provide and keep track of, and you have to allocate that attribute out. So me, if I was a partner, I need to get a K-1 that says, all right, what was my share of the partnership's unadjusted basis in their capital assets.
Mm-hmm.
It's not simply your depreciation schedule anymore. You got to really look at that closely. It's got different years that come into play. And once it's 10 years or older, it drops off. So again, you may still own it, but it's no longer, you know, an attribute you have to capture. So great question, Bill. When it comes to what you need to do, if you're in a partnership or S corporation where you have to allocate attributes out, you're going to need to do that calculation. We as a firm are poised to do that for our clients. And for the folks out there who don't have CPAs who are to do that, you're going to make sure you got to get that in position before the end of the year to make sure you can allocate that attribute out.
Yeah, and I'm guessing some of these businesses have tremendous amounts of,
assets.
I mean, and it's many numbers
years
of
and
things.
Layers.
Yeah, so that's going to be a little bit, on figuring that out. Yeah, figuring that out.
Right, and you would. I don't know why they had to make it complicated. Why couldn't we just use the depreciation schedule? Mm-hmm. It's already there.
Yeah.
But I suppose because most people take depreciation, maybe there would be no basis left. I don't know. I wasn't part of the think tank. I wasn't asked to be. Not that I want to be up in D.C. trying to figure all this stuff out. But it creates nuances and opportunities. And whenever things get more complicated, there's more loopholes. That's just the way it works. And as a business owner, you don't make the rules, but you want to play by the rules, right?
Right. Well, you don't want to end up, being basically locked up,
right,
for tax evasion or tax
for
fraud.
One, or left out. Maybe if I'm not doing it quite right, am I leaving money on the table?
Sure.
Right?
And that's probably more people do that, right?
Right. If you're not analyzing all of your opportunities, I think you could leave money on the table. And in tight margin situations, that could be the make or break.
Yes.
You know, so it's... if I could just stress to the listeners that don't underestimate the value of this deduction. Don't underestimate the value of planning in coordinating some of these things, and to not wait until December 31st of 18 to kind of figure this out. You're going to want to have a conversation, hopefully after tax season, with your CPA. Let us get 17 season out of the way, and we'll be more than happy to sit down with you and talk to you about the nuances of it and try to maximize this opportunity for all our businesses out there.
And I know one thing you said that kind of stuck with me, that there may be cases where it actually is to your advantage to actually show some income.
This year, I think it will be an advantage to show income for many reasons. But one, if you're a business owner in this deduction, you need to have income. Otherwise, it does no good for you.
Yeah.
So maybe running that loss isn't the right thing to do this year.
How did they get a hold of you, Joel?
Best way to get a hold of us is to give us a shout at 320-235-5937 or visit us at our website, Christensen CPA. And I know we have a lot of information out there on this particular deduction and phone numbers and different email addresses to get a hold of us, Bill.
199A, though, is what we're talking about, right?
We are talking about the 199A deduction, yes, sir.
All right. And then as far as are you taking on new clients, maybe for... doing taxes for this year?
Yes, we are. Yeah, we have a lot of great horsepower, a great team, and if you have any reason to grab on to identify more opportunities, we're definitely willing and able to visit with anybody that has the time.
All right. Well, that sounds terrific, Joel, and thanks again for coming in and sharing your knowledge on what sounds like a fairly complex new aspect of the tax code.
Well, so. I appreciate you having me come back, Bill, every time, man.
All right. Thank you. My pleasure. Have a good day now.
Yeah, you too, Bill. See ya.
Someone you know is key.